Thanks for joining me this morning. This is Minding Your Health, the show that helps you find ways to take back control and issues regarding your mental and your physical health. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist and a certified hypnosis instructor at the Fair Hypnosis Center in Eden Prairie. I use hypnosis to help people succeed where nothing else has worked. And I'm here every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 950. Today, we're going to be talking about our continuation. This is the fourth in the series of parenting. But we're shifting from that child focus now back to the parents themselves. And we're talking about careers and parenting. I want to welcome my guest this morning, Jill Howeller. She's the founder and principal consultant at Leadership Refinery. Leadership Refinery is a career and leadership development consulting firm. Jill has over 16 years of experience in global talent management, leadership assessment and coaching, and career strategy and transition. And she's worked in and with global organizations, top-ranked business schools, and professional service firms. I invited Jill because she specializes in coaching high-achieving working parents through navigating their careers and personal development. And children can have a huge impact on all of that, can't they, Jill?
Absolutely.
Welcome. I'm really glad to have you here. Just for our audience, in case they weren't with me the past few weeks, we've been discussing parenting issues from a lot of different angles, how parents can use hypnotic techniques with their children, special stages through the development of parenting teens, which is always challenging, and for both the teens and the parents, mm-hmm. and parenting children through divorce. So today, like I said, we're going to shift back to those emotional and logistical issues that working parents have, especially as it pertains to their careers. So tell me, Jill, how your leadership coaching work led you in this direction of coaching people on career and parenting issues.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Roberta. You know, for me, the journey came together when I started doing career coaching in a business school and an MBA program after I had spent some time in a corporate environment. And I realized as people were making some really big career shifts and looking at the opportunity to get educated to make some kind of significant career changes, their lives are happening at the same time.
Right.
So we're talking about, and you know, in many cases, these are people who are in their late 20s, early 30s. Sometimes they're getting married or they are married and they're having kids while they're pursuing education and making all these big career plans. And I found that in that moment, coaching them, it really is about coaching the whole person and not just about the specific job that a person is looking for, because there's so many other factors that people take into consideration. So it's things like location. Where do they want to live? What do they want to raise a family? Does their partner have a career? And how does that factor into where they want to be? And so taking that experience and going back into working in organizations and talking about how do you recognize and nurture the whole person through a career journey, especially during significant moments of adding children and raising a family.
That's right. And this adds a tremendous amount of stress. I mean, obviously, we're looking, you know, in this show at the physical and mental well-being, and it is extremely stressful. I mean, and we do in some... We have some tendency to live two separate lives. We have our family life and we have our work life. And, you know, with some people, those never meet. And with some people, they're very tightly intertwined. But they both affect each other. Mm-hmm. And I think this old concept that a lot of bosses have or corporations have is you leave your work stuff at the door before you come here to work. And that just isn't possible, in my opinion. I don't know if you would agree with that. But it is a part of who you are.
Yeah, I completely agree. In fact, I think that trend is changing more and more with the availability of work 24/7. So technology mm-hmm. enables that. The remote workplace is such a growing thing, and for flexibility, that's a big positive.
A good thing. Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a good thing. But you know, for many people who don't even go to a physical office anymore, there's less separation between work and home, and there's more and more integration. And I don't personally see that going away. So helping people find those strategies and techniques that help them integrate those two really important pieces of their lives. Again, looking at the whole person and how do we make that a success? Because both can be stressful, especially when they're happening in the same space.
Exactly. And I know for a lot of my careers, I have worked either at home, out of my home, or at an office like I work now. But when it's at home, obviously there's a lot of perks, but it's a lot of distractions. And you can't get away from the work. I mean, it's hard enough, like you say, with technology to get away from work, period. But when it's in your house, I found I had to have a separate room where I could actually shut the door and not look at it every time I went by or not hear the messages dinging in on the computer. Mm-hmm. It was really important. So let's discuss some topics that arise and the processes that you use. And we'll start with identifying goals and values. So talk to me a little bit about that.
You know, when I work with clients about identifying goals and values, we typically start out with, you know, once we get to know each other a little bit, it's really finding out what's important to you. Mm-hmm. And every person I ask that question of, I will get a different answer. And most people start, you know, if they're in the coaching engagement, it's because they're trying to achieve some greater balance or integration or whatever that word is that they might use. And even to that, one person's balance is not the next person's balance. So really helping them articulate what's important to you, what does that mean for you? We talk, even in career conversations, we do get into the conversation of family values, what's important for you in terms of raising a family, and is there a partner involved, and what's their role, and all of those things, because more and more today, it's a constant negotiation around, you know, who's covering this aspect of the birthday party, and who's covering this aspect of getting them to soccer or hockey, or whatever those things might be.
Right, and I know a lot of my clients, for example, when they're looking at their goals and their values, there's a lot of conflict there. And that creates a lot of guilt and resentment and frustration. And these all lead to that physical health and mental health problems that I see people here because their work doesn't allow them to have some kind of resolution there sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and which to me says you're in the wrong place, right? But sometimes you have to be there because you're supporting a family.
Right.
Right. So that isn't necessarily, well, yeah, I'll go get another job. That doesn't happen as easily as we'd like to think, right? So once you've identified those goals and values, obviously you're looking at alignment, I'm assuming.
Yes, of course.
And then how about crafting strategies around that while staying true to your values? I mean, that is another place for some pretty big turmoil, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I tend to take a fairly appreciative approach to the coaching process. So I will ask people, what's working?
Okay.
What's working right now? Amidst all the stress and amidst all the juggling that you have going on, what's something that you feel good about that you have in place today? And it might be how they communicate with their spouse or partner. It might be that they are able to provide a certain standard of living or lifestyle or have their kids involved in certain things, or that they're able to achieve career success while still maintaining, you know, things at home. So whatever it is, digging into kind of what's working helps open up that conversation for where there might be greater possibilities. And so some of the things we might talk about is, you know, where do you feel like you have things going on that are incongruent with your values? We've already talked about your values. So what is in conflict with those values right now? What one thing would you like to change in the next week or two? What are those possibilities?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's as simple as I remember working with someone on moving their pharmacy. They were using a pharmacy that was inconveniently located, and by a phone call, they were able to move it to something that was, in this case, right in the building where the parent worked. And it alleviated an incredible amount of stress. And afterward, having that conversation, it was really eye-opening how many little things that we do have control of that we can implement to make positive change.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because my tagline is about taking back control. Mm-hmm. It's the one thing. I mean, people come to me for so many different reasons. It's the one thing they all have in common. There's something in their life that's gotten out of control and they just need to take it back. And so you're right. It's that, you know, dropping the coin in the water and watching that ripple effect. And, you know, there are many little things that we can do. And I like what you said, too, about focusing on the positive. I think it's human nature to go to the negative. And when we do that, and not that we ignore the negatives, they're important, obviously, it's
yes.
what's causing us stress. But it is important to take a look at what is good, because it's our brains, job to protect us from danger and to keep us safe. So we're always looking for those negative things, for those dangers, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes when we can keep things in the proper perspective, I find that's where we can really get a break in our mental well-being. Do you see that with your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also when we uncover what's working well, what things we don't really want to change, it also sometimes gives us insights into other areas that where we can leverage that, right? So if this is working well, how could we apply that to this other area that isn't working very well or that we'd like to see some change? And that helps build some confidence and momentum that we do have the ability to take control.
Right, right. And I think a lot of us, that's what is so upsetting about life in general. It's moving so fast. You know, we have job, we have work, we have kids, we have all of these things going on in our lives and so many demands with aging parents maybe. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, we can just think of all the complications. And we just feel like, what is it that I can control? So when you can give somebody something, it's a gift.
Absolutely.
Right. It's a mm-hmm. gift and how to do that. So so setting goals and having values and crafting strategies, those are the first steps, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Very good. So I want to remind our listening audience, we're here talking about empowering you through education on parenting and careers. And we're getting ready to go to a break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Jill Howeller. She's with the Leadership Refinery about how it, what happens when that career gets in the way of our parenting or the parenting gets in the way of that career, right?
Yes, we will.
Yeah, and that makes for a pretty interesting discussion, doesn't it, Jill?
Yes.
Awesome. So I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist, and we're here to remind you that hypnosis can help you be more productive and reach your full potential. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health. Today, we're helping you take back control by empowering you through education on parenting and careers. And we're here with Jill Howeller, talking about with the Leadership Refinery, talking about parenting through your career or your career through parenting, depending on which side of the coin you're on, right?
Definitely.
So that leads us into this managing stress and emotions. I'm all about stress and emotions. So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, in coaching parents and working parents and people through career, you know, transition and family transitions, I find it really important to help people identify what some of those emotional triggers really are for them. Sometimes it's a particular person. Sometimes it's a particular event. You know, you get into the conversations about in-laws and extended family and the stress that that can bring. You know, of course, whether it's an event or certain holidays, we all have traditions and history, and sometimes that comes into play when we're trying to juggle an already very full and busy life. So helping people just kind of settle into what are those patterns mm-hmm. and recognizing that, and what would they like to see as a different outcome, right? If they want to see Christmas Eve next year or some particular family event looking different than it did last year, we start visualizing what that might be like and what have the triggers been in the past that make it maybe spiral or get uncomfortable, and what can we do proactively to make that have a different outcome.
Yeah, and so that's on the personal side. And we also have those same situations at work, don't we?
Absolutely.
We have the employee that drives us crazy, a coworker. We have the boss that is just, you know, always predictable or unpredictable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that weekly meeting we have to go to that we dread. And it just adds that stress. And there's a lot of triggers at work too, aren't there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and when you start tying them together, like when we get around the holidays, and we've got craziness at work and craziness at home, it can just be over the top for some people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so how do you help clients reconcile that? Because I guess where I'm kind of thinking of going with this is that a lot of people that I encounter are not doing what they love. Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to follow their passion. And sometimes, you know, that high school job or college job just developed into a career and it never really was their intention. It wasn't what their diploma says they should be doing, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't have that passion for that career. Or maybe they have found that career they're really, really passionate about, and the child comes unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. And so now they have to reconcile this. Let's chat just a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I would add that happens in all walks of life, mm-hmm. in all types of career avenues. You know, I see that in your example with someone who just sort of followed the path that maybe someone in their family or someone in their life took, and it just seemed like the thing to do, or someone encouraged them, or maybe they had a teacher somewhere along the way who said, hey, you're really good at math. Why don't you go get a degree in economics? And then they find themselves in a career in economics that they have no passion for,
right?
And even though they have the ability. You know, and I see it all the way through people that I'm coaching who are, you know, 3 or 4 years into a PhD program in a biological science, and they're wondering how do they change course now that they've been so committed to this for so many years, because they don't feel the fulfillment that they're hoping to out of a career.
Right.
And so, it can happen to anyone. You know, I think a lot of people find value, and a lot of coaches use some very simple to some very complex tools and assessments to help people identify their interests and their values and their personalities and their strengths, and help them uncover. I certainly use those as well, help uncover what does bring you excitement and joy, and where can you create more space for that in your life, mm-hmm. and how can that lead you to maybe a career transition, maybe a change that can be very scary.
Right.
It can be taking some risk. And so how can we plan for that?
And also, I think what happens is sometimes people are stuck in a job for whatever reason. And if you have a family, it's usually financially. Mm-hmm. And that adds a lot more pressure because you're not excited about getting up and going to work every day. So what can you find in your personal life where you can compensate for that, so that when you go home, that is where you're finding your joy?
Yes.
Some people, it's the opposite, right? They're not happy in their home life, but they find their outlet at work. So you have that kind of struggle too. And that kind of leads us into this next segment about balancing work and family responsibilities. Because that's a real challenge for parents these days, with more and more people being asked to do more and more at work.
Yeah.
So let's just chat a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think it's true. The plate, if we think of what we have on our plate, that's a phrase that we use very often. The plate is getting fuller at work for a lot of people, whether it's due to organizational changes or, you know, promotability and all of that. People like to be challenged. It is an area of fulfillment for a lot of people. So the plate at work gets bigger, but then also the plate at home gets bigger because we have responsibilities there as well. You know, as you start having children, if that's your path, or they get involved in more activities, that's more to manage and more to juggle. So, you know, thinking about how to balance that out, again, I'll go back to that comment I made earlier. The very first question is to dig down into what is balance for you?
Right.
Because again, for some people, balance is, you know, having something to do every evening. Like that brings them joy and fulfillment. For other people, balance is a very quiet home life because it's a very busy work life.
Right.
And so again, getting down to what does that mean, then we can move into how do we create more of that for you in your space, in your life, both at work and at home, and how do those play into each other?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so when, and you're right, the balancing act really is about, if I can't have it at work, can I have it at home? Mm-hmm. And if you find yourself saying, I can't have it in either place, then that's where that strategy comes into play.
Absolutely.
After we've looked at the goals, then, okay, so what is the strategy for taking some baby steps, if that's all you can do at this point, in getting you there so that you maintain your sanity? So that you maintain some quality of life, because what I see in my office is those people that are unable to do that, and they're angry and resentful and bitter and feel trapped, mm-hmm. or feel like, you know, when am I ever going to get to fulfill my passion? Or those people that you say the plate at work is getting bigger, and it gets bigger and bigger, and then they also have hanging over their head the threat of termination or downsizing or restructuring. And so you have those unknowns out there that you know can happen that just create all of that kind of stress. So it is like, how many plates can you keep in the air?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how to give us some ideas here, and we're going to come back to this after the commercial break in a couple minutes here, but let's start talking about managing those boundaries at work and home.
Yeah, I think the first thing I'd like to do with people is really talk about, what are your priorities?
Okay. Right?
What are your priorities at work? Is it to provide for your family? Is it to achieve a certain level or responsibility or size of a team? Lots of people have different goals when it comes to their career, but and for their family. So we start by just talking about, what are your priorities? You know, from there, we like to look at, you know, shorter and long-term goals. And what are some steps that we can take, to your point? Sometimes it's baby steps, and even the smallest things can have a pretty big impact.
That's right. It goes back to that ripple effect again, doesn't it? Yeah, and so setting priorities, obviously a really good thing. And I love how you're kind of tying this all back in from those goals and strategies, right? So it's time to go to break here. We're going to pick up here when we come back. I'm Roberta Fernandez. This is Minding Your Health. And we're talking with Jill today from the Leadership Refinery about this wonderful balance that we need to have between work and home. So we'll continue this when we come back from commercial break. Welcome back, everybody. This is Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. In case you missed the first half of the show, today we're talking about parenting and careers with Jill Howiller, and she's with a company called the Leadership Refinery. We left off, Jill, talking about managing boundaries at work and home. And over the break, you'd said there's a couple other points you'd like to make there. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know, we were talking about making sure people are pretty clear about their priorities and identifying some short and long-term goals that will help achieve that, that's all in line with their values. You know, one thing that we didn't talk about is the importance for really trying to help a person understand their purpose.
Oh,
right?
Awesome.
And there's so much important work that can happen there. And oftentimes people can find that, even though they may be frustrated in a career path or doing something that, you know, life came at them in ways that they didn't expect or didn't plan for. I mean, that's life. Most of us experience that to some degree or another. We can really come back, though, and get centered around our purpose, find out what fulfills us, what drives us both personally and professionally, and getting kind of clear on what is it that gets us out of bed each day. And I think those conversations really help people oftentimes see they are having a positive impact at work and at home. They are closer to achieving their dreams and their goals and aligned with their purpose sometimes than they thought they were.
Yep.
But we are so busy keeping up with all those things that are keeping our plates so full, both at work and at home, that I think the big key is just taking time to reflect.
You know, I'm really glad you brought up purpose. I don't know how long it's been. I lose track of time. But I guess probably 6 months ago now, I went to a chamber event locally in the area, and the whole event was a panel discussion from people in the healthcare industry, and Richard Leiter was talking about purpose and health and making that connection. And it really is so true. People that are purposeful, where they really know that they're having an impact, and it may, I don't mean necessarily they're out to change the world, but they have value. And we see the trends when people retire and then they don't, you know, why are they getting up in the morning? These are all really valid things throughout our whole life, that we feel there is a reason there, that we are not just a cog in the wheel, that we're there for a reason. And without us, that wheel would stop, right?
Absolutely.
So that's awesome that you bring that up. Was there anything else you wanted to say on that?
You know, the only thing I would add is sometimes people find it useful, whether they do it on their own or work with a coach, on really assessing all those aspects of their life. You mentioned the wheel and the wheel being in motion. And and we can use a really interesting activity called a life wheel that really just looks at how fulfilled am I in my career, in my family life, in my health, in my spiritual life, you know, anything that's important to them. The wheel's not predetermined. It's really up to the individual to say, what are these important areas of my life? And if you think about any of those spokes that are not full, the wheel doesn't really turn in a smooth kind of way. So we can use that just as an analogy to talk about what are the areas where we maybe want to give more focus and attention. Maybe we've been so concentrated on our kids that we lose track of our spirituality, or we get so focused on career that we lose track of our health, right? There are all kinds of interconnectedness here. And I think sometimes, again, taking the time to reflect and look at what's working and what's not working can really bring some enlightenment for people.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And that wheel is changing because, you know, our children need us more at certain parts of their life. Mm-hmm. And as they get older, they don't. And then we kind of feel that emptiness, like, wait, what about me, right? Am I a second-class citizen now because you're getting older? Mm-hmm. It was interesting because I was talking to a colleague the other day, and she was talking about careers and that it wasn't a ladder that she was going up. It was more like a spider web. Mm-hmm. And I like that idea because it is about this constant flow and this changing of direction all the time, right?
Absolutely.
And while it's a really nice way to look at it, that constant flow and all these different directions can really add a lot of stress. And that managing it becomes even more important. So I want to ask you a little bit about setting expectations with colleagues or clients and extended family, because, you know, I really do want people to see how you look at balancing those two very important things in our lives.
Yeah, when I work with clients who are struggling with the perception that they're trying to manage with colleagues at work or the boss or the clients or whatever that might be, you know, we really start talking about what is the value that you bring to the team. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about the work setting, and how can you ensure that you continue to meet that expectation, and how can you communicate sometimes your availability?
Right.
How do you proactively let people know this is when I am available, and sometimes maybe this is when I'm not available? That can be a scary thing for some people who are used to being available all the time. I work with a lot of people who are in really intense consulting, accounting firms, and they work sometimes, it seems, around the clock, especially in a busy season like we're in now. And so they have a hard time establishing that differentiation of when I'm available and when I'm not available. So we work through how can you communicate availability. And one of the best ways is really to think about a routine. For some people, they've never really had a set routine. Mm-hmm. They just respond to the work. So is this an opportunity in their case to really think about what is your set routine and how can you set it, stick to it, and communicate that with others? Because really, it's just, I think most people just want to know, will you respond to me when I need you to respond to me? And am I asking that of you at a time when we have agreed that I can expect that of you?
Right. And two things come to mind here. First is I always find myself telling clients that, you know, if you give yourself a week to do something, it'll take you a week. If you give yourself 3 days to do something, it'll take you 3 days, mm-hmm. right? And so those boundaries can be self-imposed so that we can keep our sanity, yeah. so that we can keep that balance in our life. And then the big pink elephant in the room that we haven't really touched on at all is women. And mm-hmm. families, mm-hmm. because this is always a challenge. Women want to have it all. And I think, thank God, the 80s are gone that I grew up in my early career days, where we could have it all. Well, you can have it all, but it just may not be very good quality. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. But this is a constant struggle for women, especially when we're setting those boundaries at work and expectations from bosses. Because the reality is that women do the bigger share of the child raising, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean that they don't want and or deserve the career they want to.
Yeah.
So, where do you, you know, what do you have to say about that? It's a complicated subject, I know. It's a whole other show, right?
It could be. You know, I will say that, you know, the majority of people that I see through the coaching process are often women, often, you know, especially around parenting, it's the moms. Mm-hmm. And they are concerned about managing the perception of, you know, am I going to be labeled mommy track?
Right.
What happens if I ask for flexibility in my schedule? And thinking both short-term and long-term, and there's a lot of great research out there that would suggest there are trade-offs.
Right.
There are trade-offs for women who do that, and whether we like it or not, or we think it's fair, or it happens across the board, Those are some things that I think people need to keep in mind. And so when that comes up in conversation, I do often find myself going back to what's important to you?
Mm-hmm.
What are your priorities? What are your values? And are any of your priorities in conflict with one another? And who's going to win? Or what trade-offs do you want to make in the short term, right? Sometimes people think, if I make a decision now, does that impact my career forever? Or does that impact my family forever? Everything from daycare decisions to working full-time versus part-time to how long my commute is and how far I'm away from my family and or whether or not I outsource cleaning or meal service or, I mean, any of those types of things. And so it's really often about brainstorming. What are the possibilities? Where could you get help in terms of outsourcing or even just accepting help from others? And so this is another topic that I wanted to bring up here specifically around this is helping people recognize that there are people in their lives who've offered help. Sometimes it's at work and sometimes it's at home that we have not fully accepted.
Right.
And where can we get more comfortable saying yes to the offers of assistance? Because when wanting to have it all and do it all, sometimes we don't see that we might be getting in our own way.
Exactly. And, you know, I was having this conversation with a client just the other day. She's a working mom and she's always give. And somewhere along the way, she's lost who she is.
Mm.
And that's a common issue, though. It's a common issue. And women tend to be nurturers. And then they do a lot of that and they put themselves last. And it was really interesting because I told her it's, you know, the old metaphor of you got to put the oxygen mask on you first when they drop in that plane, or you'll never be able to assist anybody else. Energy is that constant flow, and you can only give so much. If you're not receiving back, then you'll have nothing left before long. And so that kind of leads in it. And I do want to say, too, for men, you know, we have the stereotype for them, too, right?
Absolutely.
And it is just as negative because a lot of men that I've known personally really want to be more involved in their families, but, you know, they feel like if they say that at work, then that's going to diminish them as well, right? So there is kind of that double standard. I mean, obviously, there's a huge bias toward women. And from an employer perspective, I can see, you know, if you invest a lot into an employee and then they go get pregnant, and then she says, oh, you know what, I want to go be a stay-at-home mom. There are those risks. But, you know, life is different now.
Mm-hmm.
And life is more complicated. And I think it is about flexibility all the way around, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it leads us to mom and dad working because that is our economy for the most part. So many families now are dual family income earners because they have to be or because they want to be, which is awesome.
Yes.
Let's talk about dual career family challenges.
Yeah, so when we don't have a primary dedicated individual for all things on the home front, it creates a lot of opportunity for communication.
Yes.
So this comes up a lot in conversations with people that I'm coaching around career and family, just in identifying what are those opportunities to probably communicate a little more effectively, whether it's our aspirations, our dreams, and our wants, or something very specific around someone needs to get Sally to soccer. And with travel demands and other expectations at work with two people kind of moving in different directions, it can be a real challenge.
Yeah. So that sharing of responsibilities, I think, is really, really important. And you're right, especially in that dual career, if one of the couple is making more money than the other, then, you know, there is that assumption perhaps that, well, mine has to take priority because I make more money. And that may be realistic, but it may not seem very fair.
Right.
And then that leads to some pretty negative emotions and what I think you're hinting at, which is called conflict, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that does create a lot of challenging issues. So we're getting ready to go to break here. When we come back, Jill, I want to talk to you a little bit more about that, specifically the family challenges with dual careers, but also some off-ramp ramping and on ramping challenges that we see with careers and parenting those kiddos too. So we're here talking with Jill Howiller from Leadership Refinery, and when we come back, we'll pick up this great topic one more time. Hi, everybody. This is Roberta Fernandez. Welcome back to Minding Your Health. And oh my gosh, this whole segment is going so fast. We're here with Jill Howiller talking about parenting and careers. And when we left off, we said we were going to come back and talk about career off-ramping and on-ramping. What is that?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you've given me the opportunity here to explain. What we mean by off-ramping is sort of a career pause for some people. And that might mean taking it at a little bit different pace. For some people, that's being a stay-at-home parent, mother or father. For some people, it might mean working a reduced schedule part-time or looking specifically for part-time work. For some people, career off-ramping is just asking for flexibility, maybe working, keeping a full-time role at the same company, but just asking for maybe work from home one day a week or some other type of flexibility. Maybe even, you know, some people that I'm working with, they're just asking for reduced travel. So to go from traveling 4 days a week with two young kids at home to traveling less so that they can create better balance and manage all of those, the realities and responsibilities. But even any of those things can be seen as a bit of career off-ramping because we're making a change from kind of the direction and the pace,
right.
I think, and from where we were. That's an example. Those are examples of off-ramping.
So what I'm hearing from you, just kind of in general, it really is about knowing what we want, mm-hmm. which for a lot of people is really hard to define.
Absolutely.
I know when clients come to me, I ask them, you know, what are the seven positive things that you want to take away from working with me? And it's amazing how many people can't answer that. They know what they don't want, mm-hmm. but they don't really know what they want. So that goal setting, it kind of takes us full circle there. And creativity. And how can I get that? And what are the little things that I can do at home and at work to make those subtle changes? How do I talk to my boss about making these changes, like you say? How do I go in and say, you know, I really need a day at home to work out of my office? And, you know, all the research shows there that, you know, people that have that kind of flexibility are so much more productive. Mm-hmm. Because what does it do? It lowers their stress level, right? Mm-hmm. And when we're not as stressed, we can be more productive.
Yeah. And not only more productive, but more committed.
Right.
And engaged with the organization who sees it as a two-way street, right? I'm bringing
exactly.
you talents and I'm bringing you skills that help move your business forward. And you're bringing me the opportunity to have some flexibility to work my life and my career in an integrated way. That's going to increase my engagement and my commitment and my loyalty to an organization that sees this as a partnership.
Right. And that's one of the changes I've really noticed in many organizations. I think because we, you know, if we just look at really where we are in 30 years, things have dramatically changed. I mean, I mentioned the 80s, and wow, what a different work environment that was for me growing up as a young person and career-wise. And to see, that's a really short period of time that, you know, we've gone from just the guy being the bread earner to, you know, women coming to the workplace and making careers on their own and all the family stuff and the dual careers now. Companies have had to shift, mm-hmm. and they have had to look at being more creative. Some are better at it than others.
True.
But we can affect that change in a positive way if we go in with a strategy, right? So that it's a win for everybody.
Absolutely. And I work with a lot of people on planning for that conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about, yes, we spend time working on identifying what it is that you really want.
Mm-hmm.
Some people come to me and they're like, I know that my boss has said I can have flexibility, but what I can't figure out is how many days a week do I want to work from home?
Right.
What's going to be right for me? And so we'll brainstorm, we'll strategize, we'll talk about what could that look like? And what could it look like to give yourself permission to pilot something, test it out, right? Maybe you think it's 3 days and it turns out it needs to be four, right? Like, you don't have to have this all figured out in the first pass.
Right.
But giving ourselves permission to try something and evolve that decision over time as we have more experience with it.
Yeah, it's amazing, I think, how sometimes we have to think everything has to be written in stone.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has to be permanent, right?
Right.
Nothing at all. So what about career mapping and realignment? This was something else we were talking about during the break. Let's just talk a little bit about what that means and what it looks like.
Yeah. So to the point that you made earlier about careers not really looking like ladders mm-hmm. anymore,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's just really a very relevant point. And I think a lot of people feel that way, especially as they're looking at the makeup of a working family today being quite a bit different than it was when career ladders were probably first identified as the path, right? People still think about, I want to move up,
mm-hmm.
or I follow the footsteps of the person who was ahead of me or of my boss, and I go from level A to level B to level C. And I think more and more careers just don't look like that anymore. And organizations change, and the economy changes, and markets change so quickly that that's not even a reality. So the more I can work with people to help them kind of shift that frame of mm-hmm. the ladder and instead look at the web or the lattice
mm-hmm.
and careers that can take side steps and a diagonal, and maybe it's up one and down one or up two and down one and a sideways.
Yep.
I think it helps people have a realistic view of, again, it all comes back to fulfillment. What are your priorities? What are your values? If you value being a present parent and being home, you know, 3 to 4 nights a week to participate in the kids' activities and have them know that you're there to support them, then that might mean making a career move or mapping a career that has a few side steps and not just a few steps forward.
Right, because sometimes those steps up or forward put you in a position where it is totally contrary to your goals.
Absolutely.
Especially when you are juggling that family and those mm-hmm. kids, or, you know, it's at a critical time. And so maybe some of those things can be put on hold for a little while, or you just realize, is that, you know, we start thinking about, is that really what I want?
Yeah.
To begin with.
And often we don't pause and reflect and talk with somebody about, is this what I really want, right? Because maybe 5 years ago, what I thought I really wanted was this certain position at this certain organization. But in those last 5 years, a lot has happened in my life. And I'm now a parent, and now I care about things differently. Or I can also recognize, I'm going to put coaching Johnny's soccer team on pause because mm-hmm. I need to invest a little bit more in my career right now. But I can see the path in the future. I can map a career future that has a little more of Johnny's soccer, but that might be, you know, 18 months down the road. And so there's give and take on both sides. It's not always making sacrifices in career to pursue family interests. It's also reprioritizing and looking at putting a pause on things that are important in the family life.
Right.
To make room for career.
And all of this goes back to the kids, too, as parents. I know I had left my career when I had my child and very soon realized that was not for me. I was not a 24/7 mom, and that I had made a big mistake. And because I had that guilt, you know, about I need to be home with my daughter. But there is something to be said for what we model to our children,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so parents can really look at, you know, what are we modeling? What am I modeling? So we are almost out of time here. I want to thank Jill. Jill, tell us, how do people contact you?
You know, you can find us a lot of places. Of course, you can find us online. Our website is just leadershiprefinery.com. We're pretty active on social media, so you can find us on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, and Instagram.
You're doing it all.
Yeah, it's leader_refinery, and you'll find us there.
Awesome. Thanks, Jill, for joining us. I'm Roberta Fernandez with Fair Hypnosis. That's F-A-R-E, hypnosis.com. Join us next week. I've got two special guests in talking about how hypnosis is helping medical practices benefit both patients and staff. Have a mindful week, everybody. Thanks for being here.